Well, good morning, everyone. You know, it's kind of fun when the pastor reaches out and goes, "Hey, I'd like you to preach." And at school, they prepped us for this kind of thing, and what they normally did was they gave you a topic. But when the pastor reaches out and goes, "Hey, I want you to preach, but I want you to pick the topic," you go, "Ah! I have no idea what to speak about." So this is a message that I need to hear more than anybody here. So I'm hoping this speaks to you too. And before we get going, I have a confession to make. I'm a bit of a control freak. It's been plaguing my whole life, from leading bands to working traffic stops to fixing machinery and driving. I want to be in control. Ask my wife, ask my mother-in-law. I always drive when there's other people in the car. And because of this, I hate flying. It scares me half to death to be on a plane. I know nothing about the pilot. I don't know what kind of night he's had before. I don't know what kind of training he has. I don't even know if he's flown this plane before. And that scares me. And I've struggled with it for a long time. And it creeps up on me at the weirdest times. When people cook something different than I normally would want to eat. And to be totally honest, I would really like to be in control of changing my slides. Thanks, Barb. I'm not totally sure where this control freak streak comes from, whether it's nature versus nurture, or because I've spent parts of my life in careers and in hobbies where it demands your control or someone will get hurt. Who knows? I don't know. But what is it that makes your inner control freak come out? Is it your kids, your family, your marriage, work, your current living situation, or finances? Now, we're going to read through 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11. It goes like this. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at a proper time he will exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So first, let's talk about what's going on in 1 Peter. The entire book of 1 Peter is focused on encouraging Christians. Peter writes about the fiery trials taking place at about 60 AD, and the culture in which they lived scorned their faith, criticized their morality, and mocked their hope. Does this sound familiar to anybody? 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11 is a charge for the church as a whole. We're going to break this scripture down verse by verse and see how it applies to us. In verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Humble yourself. What does that mean? A lot of times we hear humble, or at least I do, and I think of Charlotte's Web and see a pig under a spider web that says humble. And even in that movie, they're like, humble, what's that mean? So I looked it up, I Googled it. It means to lower yourself in dignity or importance, and that you are not in control. Oy. It is a humbling experience to ask for help, even from God. Now, some of you know, I'm a millwright down at GPC. I've worked in the trades a lot, and it's very humbling to be a big maintenance man and ask for help. A few weeks ago, I was working on a pump and motor, and I had to replace the motor, and at first I was by myself. And this motor was about 400 pounds, And my boss asked me, Scotty, you think you got this? I'm like, oh yeah, I got this, no problem. And I bent down to pick up that motor and I made it about four steps and then something went crick in my neck. Then I needed help. So I called my boss on the phone because I didn't want to do it over the radio so the other guys could hear. And I said, hey, Steve, I think I just threw out my neck. Can you please send somebody to give me a hand with moving this big honking motor? And Steve went, yeah, because he knew what happened. So, again, somebody came to my aid, helped me out, and we got the job done. Next off is, at the right time, God will help you. Do you remember in the book of Genesis where Joseph waited many years for a dream that God had given him to come true? Or in Exodus, the Bible tells us how God led the Israelites the longer, harder way on their journey to the promised land because he knew they were not ready to have their kingdom yet, and there was a great deal of training and prep that they needed. And if they didn't have it, they'd get kingdom just quick and easy, and they go, this is too hard, we're going back to Egypt. So sometimes God puts us through these trials that are hard, but they're equipping us for later in life, where you will definitely need them. Now, verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Anxiety, it is very common. As a matter of fact, 40 million people between the ages of 18 and 54 are affected by anxiety in the United States. At the school I went to, there were several students who suffered from severe anxiety. Before concerts, we would have to like pray for them and care for them and get them ready to be on stage in front of an audience because they were so shooken up, so upset that they couldn't even function. Anxiety is real. It's within the church. People deal with it, and we need to love on those people. Philippians 4:6. This is a scripture that I felt helps me when I feel anxious. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, giving thanks. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Don't be anxious. God listens to you. You can talk to him, and he'll ease your heart. He'll ease your anxieties. That's what God is there for. Now, the next part of that verse is, because he cares for you. And I had to go with the cheesy hand heart thing, because God is madly in love with us. He knows the very number of hairs on your head. When you love someone, you know everything about them. Especially when I was going after Jess and I was trying to get her to date me, I learned everything about her so that I could get her hand in marriage. We do that. All the guys out here are going, yeah, I did that too. Now that verse about knowing the numbers of hairs on your head. Let's see, where was I? Luke 12:7. Why, even the hairs on your head are numbered. Fear not. You're of more value than any sparrows. Now, God takes care of the birds, he takes care of the trees, and you are more valued to him than those, so he will take care of you. Now, verses 8 and 9. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Do not have a case of the ooh shinies. Those of you that know me, I am a spaz. I get easily distracted. Dave and I can have a conversation and it'll go through about 12 different topics in 2 minutes. You have to be watchful of what is going on around you. Be ready for the devil lurking around the corner. The devil prowls like a lion. Anybody ever watch the Animal Kingdom shows? Where there's a lion crouched in the bush, and there's like a herd of elk or whatever animals they go after, and it's just sitting there waiting for him, and then it picks off the weakest one. That's how the devil is. He chooses our weakest because he knows he can get their claws on him. He doesn't look at the biggest, baddest, strongest one there because he knows he can't get it. So because of that, we need to stand firm against the devil and resist him. Ephesians 6, 10 through 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Friends, I urge you to take a look around right now. Because if you think you're alone in your suffering and what's going on in your life, you're not. We're a body of believers. We are here to love each other and care for each other. You are not alone. I guarantee there is someone in this room that is going through or has gone through or will go through what you are going through. And that's what we are all here for, is to love on each other. Let's be the body of Christ and help each other in our times and needs. Verse 10. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Life is hard. It's very hard. If anybody says life is easy, they're not living it. One of my favorite TV shows from when I was a kid was When Boy Meets World. And there's an episode where they keep saying, life's tough, get a helmet. And the brother pops the little brother in the head. And that turns around and comes to bite him. It's pretty funny. The struggles we currently face will strengthen us in the future. God is using these struggles to equip you for later in life. God will take this and he will hone you like a knife and sharpen you for what's coming ahead. Our struggles in this life, they don't really matter once we are spending eternity with God. Because eventually, after we go through all these struggles and we pass on, we're going to be in heaven and we're not going to care about anything that happened in this life. And that is awesome. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, it says, so I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. Are you willing to struggle and suffer to bring more people to the kingdom of God? It's a little uncomfortable to think about. There's a C.S. Lewis quote that I found, and it just spoke deeply to me. They say of some temporal suffering, no future bliss can make up for it. Not knowing that heaven, once attained, will work backwards and turn everything, that agony, turn even that agony into glory. Again, what you go through in this world is not going to matter. It's going to shape you for tomorrow so that when more struggles come your way, because there will be more, it's going to shape you so that you can handle them well and walk through them with grace. And then you can finally enter the kingdom of God. Now, verse 11. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. No matter the circumstances, praise God. What was that song that we sang earlier? Let me pull this up because it hit me while I was singing it. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter what, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let God take control of all things. He can handle it. God's got broad shoulders. God will carry you through. I think of the poem about the footsteps in the sand. We all know that. Where you only see one set of footsteps and the person asks God, well, why didn't you walk with me? And it's like, no, God says at that time, I was carrying you. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty of all that is in the heavens and in the earth is all of yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. 1 Chronicles 29:11. God's in control of everything. He He built this world. He made you. God knows and can carry it all. So we should just give it up to him. So, what do we do now after I've been up here talking for what seems like 2 minutes? We need to be vigilant. You need to stand firm in your faith. You need to pray. You need to talk to God on the regular. You need to read your Bibles. You have to be strong in your faith. You have to stand firm. Also, again, I really encourage you, look around you. You're not alone. There's 150, 120 people here. We're here to comfort each other. We're here to love each other. We're here to support each other. And last but not least, praise God in all things. In all things, give thanks. Because he's shaping you for later. So, what are the things that you cannot let go of? What is it that weighs you down? What are you carrying on your back that has been weighing you for so long and you just can't shake it? Maybe it's an ugly sin that keeps rearing its head every time, time after time after time after time. Maybe it's the promotion you didn't get at a dead-end job. Maybe it's a child that has walked away from the faith in which you raised them. Maybe you're still struggling with the death of a loved one, and the pain of that loss feels fresh even though time keeps marching on. Or you're just not happy with how your life has turned out. Or maybe you're just discouraged and going through a valley, wondering when you're going to make your way out of it. Whatever it may be, it's time to let these struggles go. We're going to do something a little different and a little new, and it requires your participation. Okay, so up here on the altar, we have a box and some paper. We would like you all to come forward and write what struggles you're dealing with and or what would you like God to take care of. Then you'll take that, put it in the box. And if you are in the need of prayer and you feel like you want somebody to pray for you, just come up here. I'm sure Matthew would love to pray with you. After we get done singing, I'll come pray with you. It don't matter. Some of our elders will come up and love on you. If you're like me, that's the worst thing to hear in the world. But these people are here for you. We're all here for you to love on you. So again, I'll walk us through it because I learned by doing. You come up here, write your struggle, and you'll just put it on here and stuff it in the box. Then if you want to pray, you can pray. If you want to go back to your seat, that's cool too. Now the band is going to play and lead another new song, because we can. If you would like to sing along, that's great. We have no reason to be afraid of what may come our way, because our God is with us. And you can keep coming up and filling out the paper while we're singing. It's not going to bug us. You're not going to distract anybody. But first, let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for allowing us to turn to you when our world falls apart. God, today we lay down our struggles and our burdens. We lay them at the feet of Jesus. God, we lay down our pride and approach you with humility and ask for your forgiveness. We are not as strong as we would like to believe, and we need your help to remain vigilant against the enemy. Father, we pray for the lost, the broken down, and those that continue to walk away from your love. Lord God, use us in the days ahead to minister to those in our lives. Have your Holy Spirit guide us in all we do and provide us with the words to speak to spread the message of Christ Jesus to all the world. God, we are your church. We give you control of everything. Thank you for all you do for us, through us, and in us. We pray this all in your name. Amen. All right. If you'd like to stand and join us while we sing, feel free to come up and fill out the box, or fill out the paper and put them in the box.